everyone this evening. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Amen. I just want to welcome everybody here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's just stand. Let's just sing that song, The Old Rugged Cross. Amen. How many just want to cherish that cross each and every day? Amen. Christ took that cross for us. We ought to be able to take His cross up every day. Amen. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Oh, and I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish, and so I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling, and I will cling to the old rugged cross. For the dear Lamb of God, He left His glory. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Father. Oh, to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish, and so I'll cherish that old rugged cross. Trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to it, Lord. Will I will cling to the old rugged cross. Oh, and exchange it someday for a crown. Think about it, Saint. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. Yes, Lord. Oh, for 'twas old, that old cross, my Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Sing it out with all your heart. And so I'll cherish that old rugged cross. Oh, till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling, oh, and I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Sing this last verse here. Oh, to the old rugged. How many can raise your hand and say that? I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach. holds and the anchor holds.
Though the ship is battered.
Oh, though the ship is battered. The
give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, Father. Praise your name, O God. Amen.
Amen. We do have an announcement. We will be having another work night this Friday for all those who can attend. Amen. And we're getting down little by little to finishing it, so hopefully here pretty soon we won't have any more work nights, but by His grace, one more this week anyways. Amen. Amen. Other than announcements, I think that is it. Amen. We have two testimonies here. Praise the Lord. Amen. First from Brother Caleb that says, Monday my dad was very sick. I prayed for him. Tuesday he felt a little better, and today he is no longer sick. Amen. So give God a round of applause for that. Amen. Amen. He's still a healer. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Also from Sister Ashley Delaney. Says, I was outside running my uncle's tool tent for him this morning, and it was really cold and windy out. While I was working, a woman drove up and gave me a blanket. She went and bought it at Walmart for me because I looked cold. All I could think of was Matthew 25. Says, where truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Praise God for His goodness and being so mindful of His children. Amen. So, amen. Give the Lord a round of applause for that. Amen. 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 You have quite a few prayer requests here. First says, please pray for Sister Tanya's friend Kenny. He recently had a stroke. Please pray for his healing and also for his salvation. Amen. So we'll keep that in prayer. Amen. From Brother Simon, it says, please keep my cat in prayer. He got ran over. The two back legs are hurting him. And Benjamin, his dog, he had surgery yesterday. So keep his animals in prayer. Amen. It says, ask anything in my name, amen. Amen. And also a request, just please keep the Lightners in prayer. I don't remember Brother Matt and Sister Rachel over there. Keep them in prayer. They were going through a situation where they need the Lord to come on the scene, amen. So keep them in prayer, amen. How many just have it up with an upraised hand, say, Lord, I have need of you tonight, amen. Come by here, my Lord. I need you more than ever before. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for being so merciful, O God, Lord. So kind to us, every one of us here, O God, Lord. You've given us life, God, Lord. You've given us eyes to see, Father God. And Lord, as we come, Father God, we just come before your throne humbly, Father God, but you said to come before it boldly, Father God. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the grace of God in our lives, Father. Lord, we just come before you, God. We just pray that you just have your way in the service in a mighty way, God, Lord. We need you more than ever before. We're a needy people, O God, and we come expecting to hear from your word of God. For we know the very word of God in our lives in this day, O God, it brings results in our lives, God. It manifests the things that your word says, Father God, because your promises are true, Father. Lord, as we come, oh God, we just have these requests that went forth, Father. We pray, oh God, for Kenny, oh God, who had the stroke, Father God. We know that you're more than able, oh God. We know many, many people have been healed from strokes, from every kind of disease, cancer, oh God, brought back from dead. But Lord, it's nothing but a toothache to you, Father God. We come before you tonight asking, oh God, that you give him a complete healing, Father God. We ask that you, oh God, give him, oh God, salvation if he doesn't have it, Father God. We just pray, oh God, that's the most important thing, oh God, that it would show him that he needs a Savior, Father God. Lord, we just also pray, oh God, for, oh God, Brother Simon's pets, oh, there, the animals that got hit in the surgery, Father God. We just pray that you would just be with them, oh God. Just give them a complete healing, Father God. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. By your stripes we are healed, Father. And as we also come, we ask prayer for the Lightners, Father God, that you just be with them, oh God, Lord, in the time, oh God, the things that they need of, Father God. They need something from you that only you can do, Father God. And we just pray, oh God, for it, that you would grant it, God. Give them the very desires of their hearts, Father God. And all the upraised hands, Father God, that you would just grant the request there, oh God. That, Lord, everyone that would come with a need today, God, that they would leave with that need or have faith that they know that God is going to give it to them. Amen. We just pray also, oh God, Lord, for, oh God, tithes and the offerings, oh Lord, that you just bless them, oh Father God, that you'd grant that, oh God, they would be multiplied, oh God, not for anything but your glory, Father God, that they can bring souls into the kingdom, Father God. Lord, we love you, Lord, we appreciate you, God. Be with our brother Cam, our pastor, as he brings the word of God tonight, oh God, that you just help him to get into the channel that you'd have him to go down, Father God, the things that we have need, whether it be exhortation, rebuke, or whatever it would be, Father God. We're saying here, yes, Lord, whatever it would be for us, oh God. Lord, just have your way in the service tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, oh God. Amen. Amen. How many can say amen? Amen. Now, let's just sing that song, The Day of Redemption is Near. Amen. How many sees everything on every hand? Wars, rumors of wars. We know it's coming very soon, saints. We just want to be ready, looking up every day, every morning. Amen. Nations are breaking and Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horror.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. We have a song special from Sister Wendy. If she'd come forth this time. Amen.
Hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. I love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. Lord, I love you, my soul sings. In your presence, carry on your wings. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. How my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever in your power and majesty. Lift my hands, lift my heart, lift my voice toward the heaven, for you are my song and cheer. Hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, my praises start. Love you so much, Jesus. I love you so much. Lord, I love you, my soul sings. In your presence, carry on your wings. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. How my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever in your power and majesty. Lift my hands, lift my heart, lift my voice toward the heaven, for you are my song and cheer. Lift my hands, lift my heart, lift my voice toward the heaven, for you are my song and cheer.
Amen. How many love the Lord so much? Amen. He's done so much for us. Amen. Like we say, we cannot tell it all. Amen. But you sing that song, Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. We do that every day to kill this old flesh. Amen.
Just take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, take up your cross and every day. And don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count
just sing that song, The Land of an Unclouded Day. How many can't wait to a place where we don't have to worry about no more trials, no nothing getting in our way, just clear skies, amen, because the Lord is the light of that land, amen. Amen.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away.
Christian, amen. Amen. Praise God. Good to see Mike here this evening, amen. Certainly a blessing. Good to see all able to make it out. Good to see the Valentine family. Amen. Good to be a Christian tonight. Amen. How many love God? And I'm thinking about singing, then I'm thinking about not singing. Singing. Do I respect my elders? You may be seated. Praise God. We just love God and we appreciate Him. His mercy is, it endureth forever, doesn't it? Amen. But we just thank God that we have a God that loves us the way that He does, a God that cares for us, and a God that treats us like we want to be treated. Amen. It's great to have a God, although sometimes you don't treat Him like He deserves to be treated. He always treats you how you deserve to be treated. Amen. Praise God. Looking for, just give me a second here. There it is. I'm going to sing that song if we can. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Amen. And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day. Oh, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Hallelujah. No friend like Him is so high and holy. No, not one. Oh, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. Oh, no, not one. For Jesus knows all about our struggle. And He will guide till the day is done. Oh, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Oh, no, not one. There's not an hour that He is not near. Oh, hallelujah. No, not one. Oh, no, not one. And night so dark, but His love can cheer us. No, not one. Oh, no, not one. Sweet Jesus, Jesus knows all about our struggle. And He will guide till the day is done. Oh, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Oh, no, not one. Oh, did ever saint find this friend forsake? Hallelujah. No, not one. Oh, no, not one. Oh, sinner, find that He would not take him. No, not one. Oh, no, not one. For Jesus knows all about our struggle, and He will guide till the day is done. For there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Oh, Hallelujah. Amen. Has he forsaken you? Has he ever let you down? Amen. How many of us should say, I should be lost right now? I should be gone on the way to perdition. But there was a God. There was a God who said he would not leave nor forsake me. Amen. He could not let me go. Hallelujah. Amen. I love his presence, don't you? Let's stand for the reading of the word at this time. Let's move to our Bible. Just got a little simple topic tonight. Pray to be all right with you. We'll open our Bibles to a few portions of Scripture. We'd like to start out, if we could, in Psalms 18, verse 2. Then we're going to move to Exodus 17. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. We stand for the reading of the Word, of course, because we find that, you know what, if you go into court, you have to stand for a judge. Amen. You go for the president, of course, you got to stand when you're greeting him. How much greater is our God? Amen. So we stand for the reading of the word tonight. Just a little way of things we do here. But yet Psalms 18:2, it says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Praise God. Let's move next to Exodus 17, 6. I think we just preached off Psalms 18. Amen. You need a touch from God?
Amen.
Remember, the only thing that holds God back is you.
That's right, brother.
And then he said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So is his word an absolute? Is it something you can lay as a foundation tonight?
Amen.
You say, oh, I want God here. Well, he's here if you want him to be here.
Yes.
Praise God. Right, serve a living God, don't we? Exodus 17, verse 6, it says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Amen. We'll stop right there. Now, no, let's just read just a little bit more there. Seventh verse, it says, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, now notice what they say. Is the Lord among us or not? What was the issue? They said, is God among us or not? Well, I ask you, church, is God among us or not?
Amen.
Lastly, 1 Corinthians 10. I don't know how far I'll get with this tonight. I got two or three topics all bunched up into this, but we'll see what God will do. 1 Corinthians 10, let's start out in the first verse. I know we got a little reading tonight. I pray that's all right. I'll be standing for a lot longer than most of you will, so I pray you just be gracious with me. First verse, it says, 1 Corinthians 10:1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye be that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you tonight, God. And Lord, we're asking this living God to come on the scene again, Lord God. Oh God, Lord, we've felt you, we've seen you, God. But Lord, how this is a special time that we get to come together, Lord. Bring all of our little pillars of fire together, oh God. The Holy Ghost in which we've received, Lord. And God, we bring it to you, oh God, tonight, Lord. Lord, you might, oh God, come and join in our fellowship tonight, Lord. What is a service without the King of Glory here, O God? O God, this is your night. This is your service, God. We dedicate it to you now, Lord. Sanctify your church unto you, God. If there be sin in the room, God, we pray you'd cast it far from yourself, God. And Lord, allow forgiveness to be given in amends tonight, Lord God. We just ask, Lord, also, Lord, that you just move us all aside the way, Lord. Oh, God, this is a type of Holy Ghost. We want to sit under this anointing, God, that you would speak to us, that you would, oh, God, the one who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, would come and speak with us tonight, God. Lord, you can add clarity, Lord, where there's confusion, Lord. We just pray, God, that you'd bring your understanding of the Word to the people tonight, Lord, and may they certainly be blessed, God, as we're on our way to Emmaus, God. Lord, just come and speak with us, Lord. We have need of Thee tonight, Lord, and we dedicate ourselves afresh to You now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride says together, Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's also good to see our brother David Loberger here tonight, pressing on with lack of sleep. So God give him the strength, amen. But yet, if we had a title for this evening's sermon, we'd like to entitle it, Bringing Forth the Waters Twice. And by the grace of God, we'll move into this very simple topic. But we felt a little bit led to come this direction. We'll see which way God will take this. If we had a topic for this night, I would like to call it this. Is the Lord among us or not? Amen. Now, the reason why we'll be getting into this, of course, we understand that we've just read a whole bunch of scriptures about the rock. It's not a prison or a movie or something like that, but the rock is Jesus Christ. Amen? But yet tonight, within our thoughts, we'd like to look at God within the realm of prophecy and tie in a few things, if we could, and just kind of clarify God's intention, God's will and His desire, the things that He'd been longing to show His children. As we understand that until Jesus Christ had come, that the church pretty much laid in a dormant state as far as Israel had no idea who their God was. Amen? They knew He was a force. They called Him Jehovah. But we even understand that Jehovah did not come forth until we added the E's to it and the O's and these things like that. It was literally J-V-H-U. And we understand it had no pronunciation. So they could not even pronounce their God's name. But yet it was God's desire to come forth as the Messiah or Emmanuel, God among us or God with us. And that God, in His expression, He'd like to make Himself known as Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I'd like to get into His will tonight a little bit and maybe the breaking of His will, if God would give us the ability. And just to show you the type that we're looking at here. Because remember, it was God's will that Christ would be slain. Amen? We could read the Bible, and the Bible said that Jesus Christ, He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen? Even in God's mind, before He had ushered forth this earth, or before He had brought forth existence of life itself, God already had it in His mind that He would have a love story. And that love story would be Jesus Christ. Amen? He Himself, remember, He was that testator. Amen? It was His testament. But yet He was the testator of that testament, right? He had to die for His church, amen. He had to die for humanity. Because what? He was long-suffering that all might come to repentance, amen. We know that all won't, all don't desire to, and all don't want to. But we realize that it's God's desire that He gives all men a free will opportunity to receive the blood of Jesus Christ on their life, amen. Praise God. But yet tonight we want to work with the rock a little bit and to show you that it was God's design and it's an intention to what? To actually, in prophetic terms, to foreshadow what His desire would be to show you what was supposed to happen. Amen? So now we get into this and we find that if we'd pick up along the trail here, we'd realize that in titling this, Bring Forth the Waters Twice, of course, we're talking about bringing forth the waters twice. But yet, in simplicity, we want to find out if this is the type of God that we have. Now remember that literally that Joseph had become a deliverer of his people, that for 7 years you find that what they had been in a famine and there had been no rain, and literally Israel ended up completely moving down to Egypt, leaving their homeland. And in doing so, we found that they sojourned there for 400 years. And we find that God, He would eventually have to bring a deliverer to work on their behalf. Amen? And His name was Moses, right? Moses was that deliverer that God had chosen. Remember, the Scripture said that he was a goodly child. And God allowed him to go on in the ark. That he would go beyond, above judgment. And that God would what? He'd place him right in the king's palace and be raised to what? To destroy the palace that raised him. Praise God. But yet, you see how God is? You see, Satan thinks that he's killing all the children 2 years and under. And God puts the very one that was the problem right in the midst of them, and they can't do nothing about it. That's the type of God we serve. Amen. It doesn't matter if there's a Goliath. There's a God who is greater. Amen. Amen. And that God, He'll choose the most peculiar, simple, weak way that you could possibly think of. And He'll overwhelm the greatest obstacle just to prove to His church that He lives. Amen. Amen. So now we pick up a little bit here and we find out that it was God's desire to bring Israel out of Egypt. And of course, I'm just laying a little foundation tonight. I pray that your expectation, remember how the gift operates. If you pull on that gift can give you exactly what you need. Amen. But yet we find that Moses was bringing the people out of Egypt. We realize that there's a mixed multitude that come out. But yet God brought them out of Egypt, right? And in doing that, we understand He had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, right? He gave them everything essential to live. But little did they know as they were in the revival of leaving Egypt that there would what? There would be troubles laying ahead. There would be challenges. There would be dark times. And their faith would be tested to see if they really believed God. Like I said, the most amazing thing to me is to see that here it was a God that could do all those plagues. A God that could split the Red Sea, a God that could literally pour manna from heaven, and they still doubted Him. But you tell me, how are you any different? How are we different? How is this world any different? Amen. This gospel has been proven true. If you'll just give it a chance. But yet they'd rather turn a dull ear or a blind eye to it and not give God a chance to reveal Himself to them. Amen. But notice here, God, when He took them from Egypt, God, they literally must have had it in their mind that the God that was doing this could not take care of them. A God that could deliver them completely and bring them from slavery, literally in their minds, they did not believe that He could take care of them. Now, let us start to prove this a little bit as we're kind of going to get into the placement of where we're going tonight. But we find out that yet in the book of Exodus 17, now remember, they come out and all of a sudden they were hungry. So they started complaining, and we understand that they started murmuring against Moses, murmuring against God's children, and murmuring saying, let's go back to Egypt. But yet we find out that God said, okay, I'll just pour manna from heaven out for them. But yet, we understand that they're still not satisfied. Now, remember, a God who could take them out of their servitude, their slavery. Because you were once a slave to the world. Amen? Not just the world, but church, you have been what? A slave to this flesh. This flesh has what? It has the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And constantly, it is upon you trying to make you do its will. But the inside of the inside, and what is heard? An eagle cry. It's heard the voice of God, and it desires what? It desires Him. But yet, you have two forces fighting over your being. And even tonight, as I preach this, you're showing me that you have two natures, or two, I wouldn't say natures, but two beings fighting over you, right?
Amen. That's right.
How do you say that, brother? Because literally, when I'm preaching, if I see you, all of a sudden you go, that's not God. That's the one that wants you to be tired and not pay attention to the Word of God. But then I hear, amen, yes. Yeah, I believe that. What? That's you're showing the inside of you the desire it wants to see. Now, I want to place this to you because we find ourselves in this situation so much. Okay? Now, notice here in Exodus 17:1, I'm going to read you this passage here, and this is where we'll start. But realize God has brought them out. God has took care of them. God has literally done everything for them. Amen?
Amen. Right.
You know, I guess I can start with this. But you know, I find it very interesting that it's so easy for us to give up on God. Come on. Isn't that right? We give God an attitude. We say, God, what are you doing? Wait a minute. The God who said before the foundation of the world, my son's going to die. The lamb's going to be slain. I'm going to die for you. He can do that, but he can't. I better not go on that, huh? But notice the condition of this world. It's ripe. Ain't nobody saying, oh, Jesus. Saying, oh, Obama. At least they call it right. They don't call it God's care. They call it Obamacare. They don't call it God's phone. They call it the Obama phone. We see they've begun to what? Or not even begun, but now they have completely depended upon the government instead of God.
Yeah.
Yet the Bible says that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Now I'm not going to go on this one tonight, but I'm feeling it. Now notice here that there is no water for the people to drink. Notice in the second verse, it says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses. They got on him and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?
Amen.
Moses, give us water. Now notice, why did God bring them out of Egypt? Remember when God come to Moses, he said, I have heard the cries of my people. So how did they get the attention of God? They cried out to God. But notice God gives them a prophet and they go to him, give us water. They've already changed their leniency. What? They're leaning on a man and not God. can't have your pastor's salvation. You have to have your own salvation. You can't have a church salvation, a membership salvation. There's one mediator between God and man, according to 1 Timothy 2:5. It says the man, Jesus Christ. Whose side are you leaning on? Leaning on the Lord's side. So notice here as we continue, this third verse it says, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? You say the word, Moses. They be almost. Moses cried unto the Lord, what shall I do unto this people? And be almost ready to stone me. Notice, they're almost ready to stone him. But yet, how many times do we find that they're crying out to God? Notice the problem? They're not crying out to God, they're crying out to everything else. Oh, I want a living God. Well, cry out to Him. Don't cry out to me for a sermon better fitted for you. Don't cry out to your brother that you need something. Cry out to the same source. If the Scripture says my Father owns the cattle of a thousand hills, how much more can God provide for you? Abraham up on the mountain, what? God literally come and said, sacrifice your son, your only son. Amen. And when he was ready to lay the knife into Isaac, the angel of the Lord held him back. And sent a ram in his place. We know that as Jehovah Jireh. Don't you like that? God goes and shows the extreme to show that your lack of extremity is literally something less than He's already provided. Uh-oh. Is this getting hard already? Oh, Lord Jesus. Because I ask you the question, is the Lord among us or not? So notice, fifth verse, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thy hand and go. Behold, I'll stand there before thee, there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So notice, now God is bringing up the type of Himself. He says, go up to the rock and smite the rock, and water will flow from the rock. Amen. God told him to smite it, because He knew if you would smite the rock, you'd get water from the rock. Don't understand? John 7:37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus said, come unto me and you'll drink. But He could not bring the waters yet, because He had to be crucified. resurrected, and send the Holy Ghost back on the people. So the living waters was a type of the Holy Ghost falling on the people. But the rock had to be smote first. Why is that important? Well, think about it. Because we see now that Moses showed in prophecy that God told him, the people are thirsty. I'll show you how to give them water. Go to the rock. We read 1 Corinthians 10. The rock that the waters come forth from, the rock was Christ. And he said, Moses, if you smite the rock, show these people. If they can live by this faith, they smite the rock, the water will come forth. Amen. So God, he gets Moses. Moses smites the rock. And all of a sudden, the waters come forth. All you had to do was smite the rock one time. And the water would be there for everyone to drink. So literally, if they ever got in the situation again, all they'd have to do is cry out. Because they've seen it happen. This God could produce water as long as there was a longing for the water. They had to approach it. If this rock could give water, so could any rock. But God was just showing them a type. Hallelujah. That's why David said what he said. The Lord is my rock. Now notice, he's my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Wait a minute. He's my rock, the one I trust in. David, remember, David got a revelation of what was going on here. The people did not, but he did. Now, why am I showing you all this? We done? Now, remember, the scripture, of course, continues. In the scripture, if we'd like to read, Exodus 17:7. And he called the name of the place Massa, which means temptation. And Meribah, which means strife and contention. Because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So notice, they have a natural tendency. They're just thirsty. But they literally do not have enough faith to believe the same God that could, what? Open the Red Sea. The same God that can pour manna out. They did not believe this God could fulfill the simple need for water. You see how we get though? One little thing goes wrong. And we say, God, what are you doing? But yet, that's the God that baptized you with the Holy Ghost. That's the God that saved your life. That's the God that gave you grace here and there. That's the God that's done literally everything for you. Now I'm bringing this to a place to show you a dispensation change. Does the living waters change? No. The living waters were always supposed to be on the people.
Amen.
Because remember, by type, the living waters or the Holy Ghost was to be poured out in the upper room, the day of Pentecost, and to be poured out upon the people. And we realize that when the living waters struck them, they spoke in tongues. What? Their shadows healed people. What? They laid their hands on cloths and people were healed by them. And literally we find, what? That literally this God He was not just a living waters God, but He would be flowing out of them constantly. What was He doing? He was identifying the people as little Jesuses. Not Jesus, but little ones, because He placed the Spirit in them. Why did they call them Christians? Because they looked just like Jesus Christ. When people see you, they shouldn't see the world. They shouldn't see a half Christian. They shouldn't see a three-quarter Christian. They should see Jesus Christ. Why? Because the life of Christ abides in you. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. But he that abides in the vine will bring forth much fruit. Bear the fruit. Wait a minute. If you're in the vine and you're the branch, you have the same life as the branch or as the vine. You're bearing the same life. Remember, that's why I tell you so much, church. That's why He said it's expedient that I go unto the Father, because a comforter cannot yet come upon you. Because why? He knew He could watch Peter doing stupid stuff all the time. Get behind me, Satan. But He knew once He got on the inside of Peter that things would be changed. Amen. Before Peter would let his mind do the thinking for him, the Holy Ghost could come in there and get him on the right track. Think about it. Before the man who denied Christ three times, the first time to a little servant girl, he was a coward in front of a servant girl. But yet, when the upper room struck, he went out in front of everybody. Amen. He said, "You men of Israel, this is that which the Father spoke of, that you now do see and hear. Repent." Oh, hallelujah. Before he got the Holy Ghost, he was back there saying, "I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that's my rooster. I'm sorry. It's the best I got." But yet we find that what? That it was the Holy Ghost that made him different. Oh, God, give us a Holy Ghost like that. We sit here and we wonder who we are. Why do we wonder who we are? We know we have the Word. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. So now, let's continue on. Notice what they were saying. They said, "Is the Lord among us or not?" It's a very good question if you think about it. Here they are saying, "Is God among us or not?" Now, let me, so to say, go into this just a touch. Because we find that our thoughts are tonight, if God be for us, where are all the miracles? Well, all they did was that, and God wanted to kill them. What do you want to do? You want to destroy them? What do you want to do? We find it happened multiple times in the book of Exodus. Numbers. Right? God said, "Moses, separate yourself. We'll start over." But Moses stood in the gap. Hallelujah. But notice here, is the Lord among us or not? I ask you, is that your question? It should not be your question. Remember, they said, "Is God among us or not?" It does not say Moses said that. Doesn't say Aaron said that. It said the people were complaining and murmuring. We're worried about, is God among us? Okay? Oh! Rough Wednesday night. But here we are. We sit here right now. Is God with us? Well, you see what the problem is? You have got to a place where you've even made a question out of it. How many of us can deny that God has done something in your life? None of us can deny the work that God did in our life. Can we deny the Bible that God gave to us? We find week, service after service, it keeps on opening up. And God tells us mystery after mystery, revelation after revelation. And we actually see ourselves fully identified by the Word of God. We have a knowledge of who we are. But then one little thing. Oh, my car wouldn't start. Or this wouldn't happen. Or that wouldn't happen. I wanted God to do this. And here we say, was God among us? I haven't even got to the second round yet, church. What time is it? Saved by the bell. Ain't no bell tonight. But you see, this, remember, what does it say in Hebrews 3? Said they entered not into the promised land because it was called the day of provocation, or the day they provoked God with their complaining and murmuring. God had done so much in their lives that they really did not even have a reason to complain, question, or even wonder about the faithfulness of God. But everything that God intended happened. The lack of waters, yep, that was God. God was testing them. But instead of what? Reaching out, relying on God, they began to question God. You look, say, I don't see a very good anointing here, or I haven't seen a miracle for a while, but why are you leaning upon that as an evidence that God is with you? Because when they wanted an evidence, God brought them a rock. And a rock was the type of the Word. And waters would flow from that rock. All they had to do. Now tell me, the rock flew out. What did they have to do to get that water? They had to fast for months and months and months. Oh, they had to break down. It was a real tough time. All they had to do was walk to the water. Run to the water. Amen. Run to the water. And the water was right there for them. Amen. See, church, a lot of times we're just making this way too hard for ourselves. You say, oh, I want the presence of God here. Why can't He be here? Amen. Is He going to show up tonight? Oh, wow. Wow. Already? Well, I might as well finish up now because we're done. See how simple it is? You think that God, see the problem? We brought God to a question instead of bring Him to the Word. Remember we sing that song? My God shall provide all my needs. Amen. According to His riches and glory. Yes, that's a scripture as well. But do you realize that God made a promise that He would provide all your needs? That simple. Wait. Just food? Just shelter? No, it says all. Amen. All your needs. Amen. Mm. You're living in the Word of God, church. You're relying on that word, not what you're seeing, not what you're feeling. Oh, I feel hungry. Why no? It's because you eat six times a day. You don't fast. You don't do those type of stuff. Remember what Jesus said? He said, when the bridegroom is gone, then shall they fast. Oh, the word is here. I love that Holy Ghost, but I want to see Him.
Amen.
Just like that Hoffman head that's up in my office. You know what? Somebody's nice enough to put that right on my couch. So every time I look, I say, Jesus. Jesus is back there with me.
Amen.
I see what He looks like. But I should be walking right out here with Jesus in me. You see, I didn't leave Jesus back there. Why do you think God said that the image of God, Acts 17:29, He said it's not unto a graven image. It's not into a picture on the wall. He said, don't make my image of something like that. He says, you look. All right. I know we got to hurry up. But is the Lord among us? I know you're saying. I better not ask that question no more. You know what? This atmosphere might change if you quit asking that question.
That's right, brother. That's right.
Is God in this pulpit? Is God in the pew across from me? So you see what it is? Isn't that amazing? You see, we look for a God back there and we look for a God way up here, but we don't see the God right with us. Right? We look for the God for tomorrow. Oh, the latter rain's coming. The God of the latter rain is right here, right now. You said that, Brother Cam. No, the Bible says that. Are we Bible believers or pastor believers? We're pastor believers when the Bible comes from the pastor. I'm not 100% accurate. You just heard my rooster crow. It's horrible. I was not accurate. So now let's move in our Bibles to Numbers 20, verse 1. If we could, very quickly here. We're going to close up on this. I got more. But we're going to close up on this tonight, okay? I want to see what we're coming down to, just for time's sake here. You know what? When we're in the house of God, this should just seem like a minute. You know, this has seemed like just a couple of minutes to me since I've been up here. Good thing you don't see what time it is. But what? We're seated in heavenly places. The Holy Ghost is here with us, talking. Say, oh God, you could preach all night long.
Amen.
You know we get in them services and say, man, I wish that wouldn't end it. That should be every service.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God, speak!
Amen.
So notice now, Numbers 20, verse 1. We've got a little bit of reading here to do again, but I want to do this for the clarity of looking at our dispensation. We see in the first verse, it says, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, to the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? Wait a minute. They were in the path that God literally was leading them. Do you realize? Every one of you, do you realize that they were following a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of by day? God was literally leading them. said, this place is evil. Wait a minute. The place that God chose them to be at, literally. And they said, this is evil. If I'm in God's place, I'm in the best place I can possibly be. Doesn't matter if I'm thirsty, hungry, or miserable. That's the best place I can be. Good thing the joy of the Lord is my strength. So now, picking up here, he says, sixth verse, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Wait a minute. Do you notice something? In Egypt, they cried to the Lord. The Lord heard their cry, sent a prophet, and delivered them. Here, the people cry out to Moses, say, take us back to Egypt.
Amen.
And literally, all Moses and Aaron have to do is go cry to God, and He comes right there.
Amen.
You see, they didn't realize that their desperation back there got God on the scene. But Moses and Aaron realized that their desperation did. Make me hungry, God. Make me desperate, God. Hallelujah. So notice here, 7 verse, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. And notice, second time around now, thirsty again, complain even more this time. God says, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Wait a minute. Smite the rock. No. He said, smite the rock the first time. But the second time that there was a need for water. If this branch, or if this vine would ever bring forth another branch, it would have to look like the first branch. We've seen a lot of movings of God, but we haven't seen the first branch, the Acts Church, back in action. But we're going to. Just like me and Mike were talking about last night, the cry of the heart. I go unto the Father. He says, greater works shall you do.
Amen.
Greater works than Jesus Christ? Greater? But notice here, at the second need for the water, God tells them, no, don't smite the rock. Speak to the rock. Now, this is going to depend on what category you are. Because you see what happens here. If we continue on, and it shall give forth its water. I got to slow down. It says, and it shall give forth His water. Not its water. His water. Notice, the first time in Exodus 17, it does not personalize the rock. But the second time, it is what? It identifies the rock as a man. Don't you understand? Now that the Word has been opened, you have an open book. But don't you see in church that now you have a chance to bring forth the very person of God?
Amen.
This rock has a personality.
Amen.
Greater works shall ye do. For I go unto the Father. Wait a minute. Let's continue. It says, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, and so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink.
Amen.
That's how you do it. So notice here, it says, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. Uh-oh. Remember, Moses had a little temper. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Whoa. Must we fetch it? What is he? How can he get water? Oh yeah, he's God's prophet. Notice what he does. 11th verse. Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, this is why I want to read this, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Notice, what would they fall? They didn't sanctify God in their eyes. They what? They thought they'd show a little of the stuff. They might have had a little Laodicea on them, a little eye going. iPhone, iPod, iPad, iHome. Notice. This is the water of Meribah because the children of Israel strove with the Lord and He was sanctified in them. So now we find that God, He told them, if you want to bring water forth the second time, He said you have to speak. But notice, they didn't want to speak. They chose instead to smite the rock instead. Now remember, according to the message, we realize that this broke all types of the Scripture. Literally, now, remember the second need for the water. It was supposed to come through the spoken word. But because Moses broke the type, it would show that Christ would have to be crucified the second time. Which is exactly what's happened in this day. Remember, they've crucified Christ afresh. Remember, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Remember, preaching another Jesus. Wait a minute. We all have the same faith. We do. The Bible says there's one faith. If there's one faith, there's one doctrine. Not many doctrines, there's one doctrine. You see why we must strive to find our identity in the Word. But see what happened? Because of what they did, Christ had to be crucified the second time. Now I know it's not a natural crucifying. It's a spiritual crucifying. Because He died once and for all, but they crucified Him. And there was no repentance given. They could not go into the land. So I ask you, is your statement, is God with us or not? We should be well up the road from that. Because notice what this is coming down to. God still gave them the water the second time, but it's supposed to come forth from the spoken word. Greater works shall you do. You want purpose here. You don't have what? A natural flesh Jesus Christ here. But you don't need him. Because if you want water from this rock, all you have to do is speak. Why do you think the Bible makes it so simple that it says, call, they that call upon the Lord shall be saved. It says, whomsoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved, I think it says. Is that Romans 10:13? I don't know. Anyway, notice, all you have to do is cry out to Him. Now remember, the spoken word. Wait a minute. Do you realize that men were taking God-like positions? Not God, G, capital G-O-D. But they're taking almost an amateur status of God-like characteristics. Remember, God told Moses, be Godward towards the people. So notice, God said, speak unto the rock. All they had to do was say it, and it would produce. But he just couldn't say it. He had to say it like he believed it. Remember, in the book of Joshua, Joshua had a need. The sun was going down. And Joshua had a need that God would deliver him from his problems. Yes. Joshua didn't say in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wasn't known yet. He just said what? He said, son, stand thou still. He didn't say, God, could you do it? I just don't get it. He knew his position with God. All she had to do was speak.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.
This is so simple, but it's so hard to believe that we're this special. But wait a minute. You don't think you're as special as people that didn't have the Holy Ghost? Remember, the Holy Ghost was not yet given in the Old Testament. What? They could have the Holy Ghost on their flesh and on their spirit, but it could not come and unite yet. Because why? The blood of bulls and goats could not give the Holy Ghost. It took the kinsman work of Jesus Christ. Redemption brought the Holy Ghost. So I ask you, church, where are you at? Do you not have Christian rights? Come on, I can read these books hung by the tongue and everything else. If you can be hung by the tongue, why can't you move a mountain by your tongue? Saying to this mountain, be thou removed. I'm saying all this to show you that here you are. I'm just going to say this as we get ready to close. Here we are in a place we're thirsty. Can anyone here say that I'm not thirsty for more God? I hope not. None of us should be there. But here we are. We're in a place we say, God, I am thirsty.
Amen.
Well, you have a choice to make. You can say, is God here? Is He among us? God, I just would have been better off living in the world. Oh, I got to look for another church. I got to do this. I got to do that.
Come on, brother. Come on.
But that's not the need. All you got to do is cry out.
Amen.
And speak to the rock.
Amen.
Is the type not accurate? The type is perfect. It was Paul that said the rock was Christ. I have a need of water. I can't get it from the grocery store. It will not fill me. I'm not talking about just a little anointing. I want a God that can do the same things He did in the book of Acts. But you see, church, you're forced to an opinion. You say, God, I'd just rather smite the rock. But you're crucifying Christ. You say, I'm mad at God. You know how many people I've had tell me that? Most of them are Christians, but they say, I got a bone to pick with God. I said, oh boy, you're going to be in trouble. Or say, me and God got an understanding. I don't really know if I want to see how that understanding works out. So God's got to understand that you're going to live like the devil, and then God's going to let you in. I don't think God has understandings like that. So here you are. What's your question tonight? Is your question, is God among us? Or is your question, God, why in the world ain't I crying out? Why in the world aren't I crying out for the water I'm thirsty for? Wait a minute. You say, oh, that's too simple. No, that's scriptural. Wait, you think God's going to make it so hard? Come on. What's it going to come down to? Amen. God said He made it so a fool would not err therein. A fool can't even mess up. It's that simple. Remember, He said to the woman at the well, so I'll give you waters and you won't thirst anymore. Aren't these the type of waters that we want? So I ask you tonight, first as we stand, I ask you, have you identified your condition? I have identified that the rock had to be smitten the first time. I've identified that it has been smitten the second time. But I have not identified myself as smiting the rock. I have not identified myself as Israel and asking where God is or who God is. And is God even with us? Or is God that? I have decided that what? That I will identify myself with the Word. I will seek the Lord. I will speak to the rock. And the rock will bring forth. God gave the commandment. He can't do it this time. God can't give you water. Well, He might. But you still don't know if you got a living God. Oh, hallelujah, Brother Cam, you're so long-winded. Oh, God, give me the water. I'm so hungry, God. I'm so hungry, God. I am so thirsty, God. I am in need of some rain, God. I am in need of some water, God. Is that your desire tonight? What are you willing to do to get the water? Are you willing to speak to the rock? It said, take me to the rock that's higher than I. He's my fortress, my shelter, my rock of defense. He's my God. With every head bowed. How many here would be able to say tonight, God, I've questioned your existence way too much. You've done so much, God, and I just haven't really believed you like I'm supposed to. Would anyone like to say, God, I set myself right there? If you just raise your hand to God. God sees all those hands. Everybody's hand should be up. It's okay. My hands are up. If you can see that you're right there, you're admitting that God, you can bring something to me. God, I don't want to identify as a complainer and a murmur. I don't want to miss the promised land, God. I want the water, God. It's second time and I'm in need. So now I ask you, as your heads are bowed and you're praying, you speak to the rock and I'll speak to the rock. What do I speak to the rock, Brother Cam? You tell the rock you need water. You're thirsty. You can't go on. You don't want to complain. Forgive me for complaining, God. But Lord, I need the water. God sees your hearts. Let's just pray to Him now. You pray to God as I pray as well. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You tonight, God. You are real. You are the genuine rock. And Lord, we know that this Word is true, God. It's fulfilled in Your church age. It's fulfilled all the way through Your Bible, God. And Lord, we want to leave this dry, barren land, God. But Lord, at this time, God, we're so thirsty, God. God, we need those living waters to come forth, Lord. We don't want to smite the rock. We don't want, Lord, to crucify You afresh, God. But Lord, we want to, oh God, speak to this rock, Lord. I speak to the rock right now, Lord. Forgive me of my ways, God. But Lord, be sanctified in this prayer, Lord. Come amongst us, God, and pour out Your water, Lord. Pour out Your Spirit, Lord. We have need in this dry and thirsty land, Lord. We believe that You're real. We believe You can, Lord. We're trusting in a miracle, Lord. God, we're just living by Your Word, Lord. We're holding You to Your Word tonight, Lord. And God, I just prayed, oh God, as You heard all the prayers of Your saints tonight, Lord. God, change our lives, God. Let us not be embarrassed of You, Lord. Let us not be scared, oh God, to put You on the scene, Lord. But God, give us a backbone that only the Holy Ghost could give us, God. Fill us afresh with this living water, Lord, so that You can gush forth from our being, Lord. It's our desire, Lord. We just trust, God, You'll forgive us, Lord. And fill us with this Holy Ghost. Oh, I don't feel anything, God. We're not working with feelings, God. Hallelujah. We're walking by faith, God. Lord, we're taking our water right now, Lord. Amen. God, give us all that we have need of tonight. Lord, change the hearts, Lord, that are so far from You. We just ask, God, that You just give them a move in their life. Lord, we're just trusting God. You'll bring us closer as this rapture draws near. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. Let's sing that song, Fill My Cup. We're singing a song, Fill My Cup, but you're saying, Fill My Cup, God. Pour out Your water on me, God. Amen. Let's sing that song, Fill My Cup. If you have need of prayer, I'd be happy to pray if you'd like to come forward. We just ask that you just like to enjoy the presence of the Spirit. He's around us right now. He's wooing amongst us. Let's just enjoy God a little bit.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Oh, come and quench. I lift it.
think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and He turned me around, how He placed my faith on solid ground. Oh, my Lord, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. We thank You, Jesus. Oh, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And when I think about the Lord, just how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me up to the uttermost. When I think about
overcome how much you are, Lord.
Oh, and you are more than enough. Oh, so much more than enough. You are more than enough for me.
River today, man.
There is a river that flows from deep within. Oh,
song, All Hail King Jesus, All Hail Emmanuel.